Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I'm Matt.
And today we're talking about why you gotta invest in what you know. Joel, we are back.
It's been a minute since we've recorded. I mean, to our listeners, there's been no break, but you and I, we recorded a bunch right there kind of towards the beginning of July. And it's been a minute since we've recorded, right?
Yeah, we had some travel plans. I was at the beach. You were at the beach. I was at a podcasting conference.
Yeah.
And so we were kind of like gone the whole month of July. And so that's why we had to like batch record.
We talk about timeless money principles, Joel.
That's right. That's what we're here to do.
But yeah, summer's over. School's starting up, which is like the first season that you and I have been a part of now.
Yeah.
And our girls are in the big kindergarten.
I know, dude. It's super freaky. And the crazy thing is where we live in the Southeast, schools start back so early. So if you live, you know, in other parts of the country, your kids probably aren't back in school yet, but our kids went back August 1st. And so, but yeah, both of our girls, they're pretty much the youngest in their class and headed into kindergarten. And it's kind of freaky, but kind of awesome at the same time.
Yeah, totally agree. Very freaky that 5 years have passed since they were born. But at the same time, it's awesome though. You know, it's so cool to kind of get in there and see them be their own person and make new friends and like talk to their teachers and stuff like that. It's totally awesome.
You know what the most exciting thing for me is, or one of the most exciting things as we go back is taking the girls to school on the bike again.
I've missed it.
Dude, it's so much fun. And that carpool line is kind of horrendous.
Yeah. So this is even the second day of school for us, or for the girls. And I did the carpool line the first day and I was like, yep, not going to do that ever again. And we've had to do it because it's been raining though. And man, it sucks that it's rained so much, but looking forward to some clearer skies so I can hop on that bike.
I know, right? Yeah. So the bike is going to be awesome. Completely avoiding those lines and just kind of a fun way to show up to school for the kids, right? I'm just thinking back, like when I was a kid, if my dad was like, you know, pulling me up to school on the bike.
Get on the bike.
I just imagine all my kids would be like, oh, your dad's so cool. But I don't know, maybe not.
I think you're painting a very romantic image of it.
I probably am.
I think already, even though our girls are only in kindergarten, they're going to be like, ugh, can you just stop with the bike already?
It's so stupid, Dad. No one else does it.
Hopefully we've brainwashed them enough, you know, like they're early enough. And if we kind of continue to do the bikes, load them up on that. I'm going to continue doing what I call bike treats. I don't know. Have you ever heard me talk about this?
No.
Because your daughter has gotten bike treats. It's been part of my strategy. So in the afternoons.
To make them love the bike?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in the afternoons when I pick them up, or you know, last year. So both of our girls were in pre-K together. That's why we've done this already for a year. But yeah, we're going to do that also now for kindergarten. And so yeah, I show up in the afternoons and I've got some treats. Whether that be just leftover Halloween candy that lasted for a solid like 4 months or just like frozen little Hershey bars, small Hershey bars. But anytime I rode the bike, man, almost every single time I had what I called the bike treat.
See, knowing you, I thought it would be like hot dogs from last week or something like that.
No.
No? Okay. No. These are good treats.
It's legit candy.
Okay.
And it's not stuff I guess we purchased it, but I mean, it's like Halloween stuff or s'more stuff. I mean, literally that was it.
Yeah.
Marshmallows were bike treats. Hershey bars and leftover Halloween candy lasted up until last May.
Nice.
But that way when I pull up and if I had the helmet on, because I just leave the helmet on so I didn't have to, you know, take my helmet off and look all sweaty for the teachers and other parents, just keep it on. When the girls saw me and I had my helmet on, they would actually cheer. They'd be like, yay, we're riding the bike. And it's just part of the, part of the master plan.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good times on the bike, taking the girls to school.
I'm looking forward to firing that back up.
Yeah, pumped about that. There's kind of something timely and newsy that I did want to let everyone know about. It's the fact that Fidelity just came out. Well, when you're hearing this past week, Fidelity announced that they were coming out with no fee funds. And so two of their funds, they're literally eliminating all commissions and fees from.
Yeah,
and
not just fees, but like the expense.
Yeah,
like,
completely zero expense ratio.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
So it's really incredible the fact that you can get, you know, a total market index fund or an international index fund.
Ooh.
Sexy.
Yeah. I know, right? At zero cost to you, which is, I think it's amazing. But
that's pretty awesome.
The kicker to me, because when we were talking about this, Matt, you were like, yeah, I mean, it's great. That's amazing, right? That's super cool.
But, yeah, I mean, you're looking at saving, like our Vanguard funds are 0.04%. And 0.04% is only $100 on a $250,000 investment, which, yeah. I mean, that's nothing. You know, if you got a $250,000 set aside, that's $100. I mean, yeah. Come on, that's chump change. And so, yeah, I heard you mention that, and I think that's great, but I don't think it's that big of a deal.
But here's the biggest deal with that, in my opinion, with this with this Fidelity announcement, is that to get that deal with Vanguard, you have to be able to have $10,000 to open up a fund, right? So is it the minimum to get that awesome 0.04% expense ratio? You have to have $10,000 invested in that fund in order to get that really sweet discount. Mm-hmm. But with Fidelity, the amazing thing is that this is pretty much open to everyone. It's $0 minimum to get this zero expense, zero commission investment. So I really love that. I love that.
That's pretty awesome.
You can open up, you know, an account for yourself, for a child, whatever, with $100 tomorrow, and pay no, you know, and pay essentially nothing in expenses to own these funds.
That's pretty cool.
And the two funds that I would pick from Fidelity are literally probably these two funds.
Yeah.
So I love that it's completely free to people, and congrats to Fidelity. And I love kind of the way that, you know, us as consumers, we save. Capitalism is like completely intensified, you know, when it comes to saving and investing. And, you know, we talked about in episode 29 with the micro investing apps.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say. Like, the more competition, the better, you know. You're seeing the barrier to entry lowered. And what that allows folks to do is, instead of looking at a fund, the Admiral Share, the VTSAX, like you said, 10 grand, like that's a tall order. It's for someone that's kind of setting some money aside thinking, okay, how am I going to start, you know, investing, self-direct and invest on my own for retirement savings. It is less than that for VU, which is like the ETF version. They have a lower minimum, but the expense ratio is slightly higher though. It's 0.05, which is nothing still.
Right.
But regardless, like, yeah, the more competition there is, the more players sort of entering the market, the more that happens, the more we win, the more the consumer wins. And hopefully we'll see more and more folks save, setting aside money and investing and generating wealth. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I think, the other big thing is it just draws a big circle around fees. And, you know, you and I both agree that fees are one of the biggest causes of people having less in retirement than they should have. And so you need to pay close attention to your fees. And this just draws another big circle, you know, around all the other players in the industry that are charging high fees. And it says, you know, why? Because if Vanguard can offer, you know, these ridiculously low expense ratios, and then Fidelity can completely, you know, eliminate expenses on a couple of funds, it just kind of highlights how the disparity really that exists in the industry. So yeah, congrats to Fidelity. And if you are someone who wants to open up a Roth, or, you know, wants to start saving in a brokerage account, you know, you want to start doing some investing. We talked about, you know, apps like M1, you know, recently, but going straight through Fidelity in one of these couple of funds, I mean, that's a great idea too. And I mean, their whole portfolio is just looking pretty awesome right about now.
Yeah, you gonna hop on that Fidelity train from Vanguard?
Nah, man. I mean, just like we talked about on episode 29, like I'm with.
Might save a couple bucks over like your entire portfolio for the years.
Well, and even that, you know, my 401k is with Vanguard, and so like you can't change that, right? Like I got to keep contributing to the
employer's menu of options there,
right? And so like,
and it's a great option.
And then why not just keep everything in one place with a company that, even though there are these price wars going on, Vanguard started the whole thing, and they've got amazing products and amazingly ridiculously low expenses at the same time. So
it's good to see though, for sure.
Yeah.
Is it time to talk about the beer yet? Because I'm so freaking stoked.
Yes. Yeah, it is. So let's pop the tops. So Matt, the beer today is our first return brewery, I think, on the show, Avery. And they were super, super, super cool and sent us a beer called Planked. And Planked is an Imperial Coconut Porter aged in rum barrels, weighing in at a lofty 16.2%.
Yes, which isn't necessarily why I'm excited for it, but partly.
Right.
Let's be honest.
Well, seriously, Avery has...
These beers are so good, man.
Yeah, I feel like Avery has one of the absolute best barrel aging facilities in the country. They come out with some of the best barrel aged stouts and porters, but also some of the best barrel aged sours. And man, I've been to the brewery. It's absolutely incredible. It's a beautiful facility with amazing food in addition to like 40 taps of beer. But yeah, so it's so cool for them to donate this beer to us.
Yeah, so thank you, Avery. We really appreciate it. And these beers, so this is part of the annual barrel series, which is sort of like a separate line, like a limited run that they do. And you can tell too, because all the labels of this sort of series, they kind of have like a like wood boards kind of going. I mean, it looks like a barrel, basically. They're, you know, they're trying to make it look like a barrel. You and I have both had multiple beers from the series, but neither of us. Have you had this beer before?
Nope, never had this
one. So neither of us have had this specific one before. Yeah, they've got such a good history of these beers being awesome, and I'm so excited to try this one.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.
Man, that beer kind of makes me want to cry. Oh. It's that good. It's delicious.
Making your voice crack, taking you back to puberty, too.
Yeah, back to when I was 12 and I used to drink beer all the time.
Yeah, I was throwing down beers like this when I was 11 years old, too.
Who wasn't? Oh, man. You know, I love a good rum barrel aged beer. Some of them, though, can be too sweet, right? Like the rum barrels can just lend too much sweetness to the beer. But because this one's like boozy and imperial with some coconut in it, man, that rum barrel like rounds it out perfectly. So it's got like that hint of sweetness, but it doesn't like dominate the beer. Holy crap. This is really, really good. And just reinforces what I said earlier, that Avery has one of the best barrel aging programs in the country. All right, so on to the topic at hand, Matt. You got to invest in what you know. And I wanted to talk about this in particular because I've been thinking about people's attitudes toward investing and how people, you know, often have an apprehension towards investing at all. And they're just not sure, you know, kind of how they want to invest. They're told, well, invest in an IRA or a 401k, of course, with work, right? If you have access. And those are great plans. Yeah, but I've just been thinking about lately how there are a lot of ways for people to invest inside of their zone of competency. That's like the way I kind of phrase it. Essentially, investing in what you know. And so I want to kind of encourage people in this episode that, let's say, you know, stock investing is kind of freaks you out, or you know, you have this aversion to, you know, putting money in the stock market. Or, you know, Matt, you and I, we've talked about real estate over time. Like we're big into real estate investing. You know, for us, that's a long-term plan towards financial independence, is, you know, slow growth of our real estate holdings. And I just want to help people think through and understand that they don't have to invest the way you and I invest. They don't have to invest the way, you know, the financial press tells them to invest. There are ways for you to invest your money that can zero in on exactly what you're good at. And so that's kind of what this episode is all about in my mind.
Yeah, man, I'm with you. I'm very happy that we're doing this episode. We do talk a lot about real estate investing specifically. Yeah, and so it's just good to state it and put it out there, right? Specifically, you had a story where you were talking to a guy and he was just talking about how, oh man, I would love to kind of get into real estate investing. I'm just, he's a little gun shy. He understands investing and he understands financial independence and he's on his way towards that. He has got a lot of knowledge, but even still, it's just not quite in his wheelhouse. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And so this entire episode is about finding the specific way for you to invest as an individual that works the best for you, that you find the most fulfilling and gratifying, that also has a great return on your investment as well.
Yeah. And the thing that kind of got me thinking about this initially was a couple of weeks ago when Facebook stock dropped 20% in like a day, right?
Facebook and Twitter.
Yeah. And so it was like all over the place. The news that you know, these social media stocks were dropping. A lot of people in the normal financial community are freaking out, but a lot of people in the kind of savvy investing community were saying, is this the time to buy? Should I be sinking a ton of money into Facebook stock or Twitter stock right now and buy the dip? And, you know, I think at times that's not a terrible strategy. But for me, I look at something like that and I say, I have no idea what Facebook stock or Twitter stock is going to do next week, next month, next year, because I don't read anything to do with that. It's not inside my zone of competency.
Yeah.
And so I try to stick to what I know and not try to exhaust my mental capabilities to figure out individual stocks. Like, that's just not something I'm going to do. And it would take me so long to get up to speed to be able to make a smart decision about a buy like that.
Where you would feel comfortable and confident.
Right. And right. I've already kind of spent that time and that mental energy on figuring something else out, right?
Yeah.
That I want to invest in and I'm good at investing in. So I just, for me, I think I was talking with a friend who, you know what? He nerds out on stuff like that. He nerds out reading about specific companies, you know, digging into their financials, and then making moves like that, deciding when it is a good time to buy. So he holds a lot of individual stocks, but he knows what he's doing. And so that, you know, that is his sphere of competency. Yeah. Like, he knows what he's doing when it comes to investing in specific individual companies. Mm-hmm. And so for him, you know, why not buy the dip if he knows enough about the company, knows enough about their underlying financial state, and says this is a good long-term hold and a good time to buy.
Whereas for us, we just kind of know that, okay, generally speaking, sure, this is a better time to buy. However, I'm not going to.
Right. However, we just don't even dabble in that because it's not something we know anything about currently and not something that we feel like we need to take the time to figure out.
Yeah. Or if you want, you can, you know, certainly you could have purchased some, or I could have got some, hop on the Robinhood app and made some purchases, but it would have been more for fun. You know, it's sort of like kind of
speculation, really.
Yeah. Going to Vegas. It's just sort of like, all right, let's just have some fun. Let's see what happens. If I lose some, no big deal, but there's a chance I could make some. I think if you kind of are looking at it from that standpoint, sure, that's fine. That's not investing, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's not investing is being knowledgeable, you know, having done your research, going into something with your eyes open, not hoping, crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, but expecting a rate of return based on the research that you've done, as well as your experience. And yeah, like you said, for both of us, it would just be more just kind of having fun and seeing what happens, sort of.
Which isn't a good way to invest.
Yeah. Yeah. Put $2,000 on black 20.
Right.
Is that something?
Is it? Yeah.
Is that like blackjack?
Roulette.
Oh, is it roulette?
Okay. Yeah.
There you go.
That's
one of those, man.
You should know that. Come on.
Yeah, that's right. I've watched enough James Bond. I know what that means.
Yeah, you do. Shaken, not stirred. Yeah, but one thing I want to, you know, make sure is clear to people before we get too far into this is that you do need to be investing in order to build long-term wealth.
Yeah, certainly.
Right? So you want to figure out that zone of competency, that sphere where you feel comfortable investing and you feel like you can get up to speed pretty quickly. And we'll talk about that a little bit, you know, further down in the episode, that there are just some things that are a whole lot easier to grasp really quickly.
Yeah.
And so you can kind of build that zone of competency, but you have to be investing somewhere. You know, if you want to achieve a measure of financial independence, or you just kind of want to live a life with, at minimum, some margin in it, right?
Yeah, man, that's right. And we're going to talk through some investing that does take a little more work or takes a little more specialized skill or experience or knowledge. But there are also some very easy ways to invest, and we're going to be covering that as well. That way you don't feel the pressure to be a financial expert in order to invest your money in an effective way. So we're going to get to that next. But first, let's take a break, man.
All right, Matt. So back to the topic at hand. You got to invest in what you know. First, we want to let people know, don't be overwhelmed with different ways that you can potentially be investing. It's super, super easy to invest in low-cost index funds. And that, in our opinion, is kind of hitting the easy button, right? Just like we talked about kind of at the intro of the show, companies like Fidelity offering, you know, zero-fee total market index funds and international index funds. Diversify your investment funds across no fee, no commission funds like that. Man, that's the easy button. You really almost don't even have to do any research. You just know that you're investing across the broader U.S. stock market or the broader global market. And that's just kind of like an easy thing to do that helps you, you know that you're paying almost no fees, but are in, you know, investing solidly in a diverse set of companies that gives you some really good exposure to, you know, capitalism across the world.
Yeah, man, that's right. However, though, if you have some experience or, you know, skills and knowledge that you could naturally align with something that you could be investing in, we want you to consider that, you know, like that's where you could take something that you know and put it to use in another way where it's going to earn you even more money. Investing in the stock market is great, and you're going to do fairly well there. But if you're looking towards something else to kind of give you more bang for your buck, sort of like Joel and I have done with real estate, that's when you want to look towards those competencies, like Joel was saying earlier, that, you know, those skills that you have. So, for example, I'm not sure if this is a great example, but like you and I, we both know what really good beer tastes like, right?
Yeah, we do.
And also, we know the Atlanta beer scene really well. So if there was an opportunity that came along, one that you and I have actually specifically talked about with someone we know that's brewing awesome beer, and if he was looking for investors, I think we'd both seriously consider providing capital and investing in that brewery. Certainly, you need to have some business background, but assuming all that sort of checks out, that's something that you and I love. You know, we're huge fans of beer. We're huge fans of our city. If those are sort of natural interests that already align with something that we're familiar with and that we're passionate about, well, why not consider investing in something like that? Is it a little riskier, perhaps? Yeah, certainly. It may not be quite as, you know, diversified and quite as maybe solid as, say, the total market index funds. However, with greater risk, there comes with the potential for greater reward.
Yeah, and so we're not saying, you know, invest in your Uncle Joe's knit sock company that he sells on Etsy, right? Like, maybe you don't know anything about knitting socks. And
is it Darn Tough Socks? Because those are awesome.
That would have been a good idea. Invest in that, right? But yeah, maybe
you don't... I hear you though.
Maybe you don't know anything about socks and you don't care, and your Uncle Joe is like, yeah, he likes to sleep a lot or something like that.
That's so, zero business background.
Yeah, you don't trust him to sell a good sock. There are probably a lot of, you know, business opportunities that a friend or relative might come up to you with and say, hey, do you want to invest in this? And you know what? Maybe that's not in your zone of competency either. So it doesn't mean just invest in anything that comes along. But think about those things that you, yeah, naturally gravitate towards, that you're interested in, that you know a fair amount about. And those could provide, you know, natural opportunities for you to invest some of your funds in a way that might not be a traditional investment vehicle, but could provide some bang for your buck and a way for you to invest in something that you are more passionate and care more about.
That's right, man. So invest where you already have some competence. And when doing this, be sure to consider your natural talents as well. You know, what you're interested in, like I mentioned, or even what you want to be interested in. You know, if there's something that's sort of out there that you've sort of dabbled in and you're somewhat familiar with it, and you know that there's a lot of room for potential there, a lot of room for growth and business opportunity, well, that's something that might be perfect for you to get into. It's something that you're naturally going to want to learn more about anyway. And if you can, you know, parlay that into an investment where you're making a return on your money, well, then you can't really beat that sort of combination of those two things coming together, right?
Yeah, and also you don't come out of the womb naturally competent, right, in all these areas of investing. Or these things take time and kind of an investment of your time to learn. So, for instance, the beer scene in Atlanta, Matt, I mean, that took us years to kind of come up to speed and to feel comfortable to where now we would consider investing in a brewery here, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
A few years back, if someone had come up to me and said, you know, hey, would you be willing to invest, you know, a portion of what you have? I just didn't have much capital to invest. And I just didn't know enough about the brewery scene to feel comfortable doing that. So I kind of would stick to my zone of competence, which was, you know, just kind of real estate and a little bit of stock market through my 401k. But now I know a whole lot more. And I feel a lot more comfortable in that. So challenge yourself to potentially learn something new. You might not have enough to invest right now in an area where your interest is peaked, but take time to kind of develop that interest a little more and get competent in an area that you would consider, you know, investing in your time and your money at some point, maybe.
Man, you know, something else with that too is that in the process of doing that, you become a more well-rounded person, you know, like in the sort of the pursuit of learning something new to where you can hopefully better yourself and potentially put your money to work by learning the ins and outs of a business or an industry or whatever it is, you get to learn something. So when you're pushing yourself and you know, expanding your own base of knowledge, that makes you for a better person. That makes for a better you. And at the very least, you can, you know, be more fun at parties. You can talk about stuff.
Right. Yeah, so I think it's important to consider heading down to your library, getting some books on a subject that you are interested in. There is so much free information via podcast, via blog, that you can find that'll give you this ridiculous window into whatever it is that you're interested about. There's somebody writing about it or talking about it. And yep. So, yeah, consider using some of those resources to develop that like core thing that you're interested in so that you can actually develop a robust competency in that. And so, yes, like we said, some things are easier than others. Low-cost index investing, man, you can probably learn about that a few hours on a Saturday to feel really comfortable doing that.
Or you can go back and listen to our episode on retirement investing is easier than you think, which I recall being episode number 9. So go back and listen to that. It's way easier. You can listen to that in 1 hour. I guarantee, seriously, you could be investing by the end of that hour and I think feel confident. But yeah, I would agree with you, Joel. There are some things where it is going to take longer. It's going to take more time. It's going to take maybe more research. And I think in those instances, it's especially important for you to make sure that you're focusing on something that you're interested in or want to be interested in, because you're going to be spending time doing that. And time is your life. So do you want to spend your life, not necessarily the rest of your life, but do you want to spend a chunk of your life doing this? Do you want to spend your time being a landlord? You know, for us, that's what that involves. That's something that Joel and I both enjoy doing. There's a lot of human interaction in that. It's not just sort of like the numbers, you know. I think that's something that you and I both love about it, is you're dealing with people and you're able to provide something for people that they enjoy, or hopefully they appreciate and enjoy. And so think about that. Think about, do I want to spend my time doing this? Because that can also be a sort of barometer whether that should be something that you should pursue or not.
Yeah. And another way to decide kind of what that zone of competency is that you do want to decide to kind of invest some of your resources in is to try it out. And so sometimes the best way to learn is by doing it, right? And so starting small will allow any mistakes that you make to be small as well. I'd read a little bit here and there about landlording, but I didn't really know if I was going to like it until I did it. But I started small with one single family home, and I decided, hey man, this is actually working out really well. I like the return I'm getting, and I actually kind of, you know, like investing in this way. I want to keep going. And so I just encourage people that whatever it may be, whether it is investing in individual stocks or it's investing in real estate like Matt and I do, yeah, so start small and actually like go for it, right? You know, buy that first investment home or research that one company that you're interested in and decide if their stock is undervalued or not.
Yeah.
But you're actually going to want to try it out to see if that sort of investing is something that you like.
Yeah, man, that's right. You can read about something all day long and think you might like it, but until you're actually there doing it, you're not going to really know if you enjoy it. At least for me, I know that's something that I can research something constantly for days and years even. And sometimes you get paralyzed with all the information that's out there and the analysis, you know, that you hear people talk about analysis paralysis. Man, that's me 100%. Certainly there's a healthy amount of research and analysis that you do want to do. You want to make sure that you figured out your numbers and crunch the numbers and make sure it's going to work out for you. However, once you have it all figured out, and maybe once you've double checked it like once, there's no need to keep looking at the numbers. There's no need to keep mulling it over. You either go for it or decide to move on to something else. I feel like there's so much that you learn from just, like you said, just doing it, you know, like getting your hands dirty. Although I feel like that kind of makes it sound like we're doing something illegal, you know? But yeah, like the sweat equity and just kind of getting in there and kind of getting dirty, like you said.
Yeah, and I think it's important to know that you're never going to have, you know, as much knowledge as Warren Buffett, right? Probably. And right. You're never going to have, you know, as much real estate investing knowledge as the dudes at Bigger Pockets that are an incredible resource for people that want to be real estate investors. But to take that jump, to take that leap, you don't have to have that much knowledge. It just has to be kind of this place of competency for you that you've researched and studied and you feel like you know enough about to take that leap. Don't wait until you're Warren Buffett, because you'll never be investing, right? You have to kind of take the leap. Warren Buffett kind of developed that zone of knowledge over time as he saw some beats and made some good investments. And then, you know, he kind of honed it and harnessed it. And so you're just not going to be that from the get-go. You actually kind of have to learn while you're doing. And I think it's okay to invest in alternative ways like we're talking about. But just know that you're not going to be an expert from the get-go. It actually, you know, takes some trial and error and a few successes to actually learn enough to feel like you really know what you're doing.
Yeah, man, that's so true. There's always going to be someone else out there that has more knowledge than you. So if it's about knowledge, you're never going to win, right? And you just kind of have to go for it. Yeah, and something else I wanted to say, man, is community. Like we've talked about researching these sort of alternative investments. We've talked about just actually trying them out and doing them. But I think something that's hugely important too is just asking around. You know, you can sort of sit in your bubble, like on your computer, and doing all the research and see what people are doing all across the country and follow these financial personal blogs that these guys have going on. And however, just asking around in your community and talking to your friends about what they're doing, that may not always pan out, but I think there's a lot to be gained there. I think there's a lot of especially initial exposure to different kind of alternate investments that you could come across that you wouldn't have come across otherwise. If you weren't talking about money, if you weren't talking about your investments, kind of going back to why we even started this podcast, we want to get people talking about money. It needs to be something where it's more commonplace, right? It's something that folks don't feel like is taboo and that they can't talk about their money and their finances, but instead talk about it, share your information, ask questions. These are all things that are free, and I think there's a lot to be learned from those around you. And I mean, specifically, Joel, I mean, I'm thinking about real estate. So I had an initial exposure from my buddy up in North Carolina. And specifically, I think of you, because I know you had purchased your first home and you were planning to rent that out. And, you know, I'd heard about that and that was definitely intriguing. But sort of talking that through with you way back when, back before we had kids and when we were younger, it definitely helped me. I mean, hopefully it helped you some just to kind of bounce ideas off of somebody else that had zero experience. but maybe if you had heard that, like, oh, man, why does he think that this is crazy? You know, but instead, I was sort of thinking about that as well. And we're able to kind of encourage each other and sort of spur each other on, which I think was extremely healthy.
Yeah. I mean, I think the head knowledge is really important, right? To kind of learn via podcasts and reading, but then that kind of experiential knowledge that you move into, not even through necessarily doing, but like learning secondhand through someone else's experiential knowledge is so helpful. And so, yeah, talking with other people that had done it, it was really, really important for me. And even now, it's really important for me to see people that are doing it like a different way. And talking to other real estate investors in particular who, especially in my town, who are saying, like, here's how I'm doing it. Here's kind of, you know, the things that I've had success in and the things that I haven't done so well in. But here's kind of my strategy right now. It helps me decide, okay, it helps me hone my strategy, really. Yeah. And helps me decide, well, what kind of real estate investor do I want to be? You know, how hard do I want to go? And what sort of moves do I want to make over the next couple of years? That comes down to, you know, what part of town do I want to buy in? Whether I want to buy, you know, multifamily, single family. It comes down to like a bunch of different things. But talking to other people that are in the midst of it, doing it, yeah, is so helpful. So it kind of goes from that just like head knowledge from, you know, reading books or blogs and listening to podcasts to kind of someone else who's actually doing it. And I agree that community is completely invaluable for stuff like that, like reaching out to friends, family members, coworkers, people that maybe are a little bit ahead of you or have done something you haven't done, and kind of, you know, getting that take from them as to how it's worked out. Yeah, for me, that's been completely invaluable over time. And then, yeah, bouncing off friends too that just have a modicum of knowledge in the area. Even if they haven't done it, maybe they'll, you know, provoke a thought in me to think about something that I hadn't thought about before. Maybe one of the downsides or the cons to investing in that way. And then it makes me, you know, second guess myself, or at least go back to the drawing table and make sure that the path that I'm going down is still the one I want to go down. Right.
Right.
So yeah, all those conversations and talking with people that are in it or good friends that are at least really intelligent, man, that stuff's incredibly helpful, you know, before you go hook, line, and sinker down a specific investment path.
All right, Joel. So yes, specifically when it comes to investing, you know, we're basically presenting two options. The traditional investing, which is what we talked about early on, that's the stuff you've heard of, maxing out your Roth IRAs, your 401ks, getting the match. Certainly the pros to that are it's super easy and it's proven, right? But the cons are that your returns are likely to be smaller.
Yeah, that's like the easiest zone of competency to develop, like that 401k,
certainly,
6%,
yeah.
Put it in like a target retirement fund or a total stock market index fund,
oh,
and
yeah.
Boom, right? Set it and forget it. That's easy.
Yes, it's super easy. But at the same time, I don't want to sort of discount that, because I think for a lot of people, that's going to be the main way that folks invest, right? That might be the main way that they save for their retirement. For someone whose career is very demanding, or for someone that doesn't have the time to learn something completely new, you know, like I think to myself, now that I've got three kids, like would I go into real estate investing at this point, like right now, had I not already started when I was in my 20s? And I'm not sure if I would, you know, like, because I just don't quite have the time now that I used to.
I completely understand,
you know?
That.
Or if I had a more of a, like a higher pressure or a higher demanding job. I think of like a, you know, some of our friends who are in the medical profession and, you know, like they're stressed and that's what they think about. They think about their work. And if they're not thinking about that, their work, because they want to perform the best they can with that, they're thinking about their family or trying to maintain a social life or, you know, somewhat of a balanced life.
Yeah. And so to think about, you know, painting at a rental property, you know, over the weekend or.
Yeah. No can do. Right.
Yeah, beating a contractor on a Friday, you know, trying to take off work.
Or reading over a business plan for a new startup. You know, we're about to get into some of these alternative investing opportunities that we know are out there for folks that might want to dabble in. But things like that, that may not work out for folks. And for those folks, the traditional easy, hit the easy button, get those low cost index funds. Go for it. I think it's great. And we're going to get into some of the specifics on different ways that you can be investing right after this break.
All right, so let's get into some of those alternatives. Individual stock investing, if you're into research and you want to be the next Warren Buffett, right? And so we are not, Matt and I are not big fans of stock picking, of picking particular stocks to invest in at the expense of investing in the overall stock market. And that's just because, you know, you look at the pros out there on Wall Street, and many of them are underperforming, you know, the market as a whole. And so to think that you are
they're pretty smart guys.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly, right? And to think that you're going to outperform the stock market, you know, on your own is usually a loser's bet. But if you want to dabble in that as an investment, because you enjoy your researching companies.
They're exactly. If you enjoy the research, yep. You enjoy reading. That's the thing, man. I don't know how to read.
Well, that's a problem. Yeah. So that might be that might provide other obstacles in your life as well, Matt.
I don't read so well.
But so I think, yeah, researching individual companies. But then on top of that, kind of, you know, being able to see, you know, where the future's headed. So, you know, I was talking to a friend recently, and he was saying that Waymo apparently is actually ahead of everyone else when it comes to self-driving cars. And Waymo is owned by Google. And so investing in Google, he thought, was a good idea because he really thinks that Waymo has this advantage over everyone else in a sphere that is going to change all of our lives over the next decade. And so, you know what? That makes a lot of sense to me. I don't know enough and I haven't done the research and that's not something that I care enough about to start investing in that way. But I love that that's something he cares about and that he has made a rational basis. He's actually got something to go on here to invest in an individual stock. And a lot of people, it's a hunch. It's I like that company.
It's making the headlines.
Right, yeah. Right.
All the reasons that you don't necessarily want to invest, actual investing in individual stock.
Yeah, but if you're into the research and you'd like to invest in that way, man, develop that competency and it's totally something to consider as an alternative or in addition to that sort of broad investing approach that we talked about earlier.
That's right, man. Another option is investing in local businesses. If you're super knowledgeable and have a lot of experience in your local community and you've been there for a while, specifically if you somehow know a lot about a particular industry, that is something that you can invest in. I specifically think of like a coffee shop, right? So say you spent your time not just working in coffee shops, but you've worked with roasters. So you have a lot of knowledge of that local industry in a specific spot. And you heard that somebody you know is thinking about opening a coffee shop. So chances are you know a good bit about that industry. You know about the local area if that's somewhere where you've been for a while. If you have some business background, you could likely sit down and pretty quickly figure out whether or not this is going to be something that's going to work out. And you can quickly decide if this is something that you're going to follow up with and get more information to see if they're looking for investors or if this is something that you're going to just kind of watch from afar as it implodes. Those are the kind of bits of skill and knowledge and competencies that we're talking about for an individual to have where they could take that and transform that and convert that into an investment opportunity.
Yeah, another alternative is investing in your own business. So if you want to be an entrepreneur and you want to start something of your own, whether it's a coffee shop or an online business, sinking some of that money that you might have invested kind of the easy way, right? Through the stock market, through a 401k or an IRA. Well, it might make sense to invest less in that traditional method and bet on yourself. And so if you have a great idea, if you see a need in your community and you want to build a business to meet that need,
or even if you see a need online, right? Like so there's so many digital tech startups.
Yeah, and those can be even cheaper to fund, right? So investing in your own business though can actually be a better move for you in the long run if you feel the calling and you feel really competent in that sphere of entrepreneurship. And so Matt and I just read an article by this guy, Cody, who started a disc golf disc business. And I
right up our alley.
Yeah, we're huge disc golf fans. This guy is foregoing investing in his 401k because he's completely putting everything in on this side business of creating a disc golf enterprise. And I think that's awesome, man. I think because he's passionate about something, he sees the need and he sees that he can fill that need. To bet on himself and invest in his own business, man, that's a better use of his funds right now than putting it in a traditional stock market investment that needs to grow for 30 years and let him access it in retirement. He's essentially investing in the present as he tries to create a business. And I think that is a worthwhile endeavor, if you meet those marks of developing a competency, of kind of seeing, the marketplace not addressing a need, and then you're ready to step in there and fill that need.
Yeah, it also may or may not be a prerequisite to have boundless energy and determination if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you know? I think about Kate and I starting out the photography company, and it was a fairly uncomplicated business, right? But even still, there's just so much to learn. There's different aspects of business. And so there's insurance, there's marketing, there's taxes. There's just a whole lot that you get to learn a good bit about when you're running your own business, in addition to even the actual product that you're providing. I said that kind of tongue in cheek, right? Like boundless energy. But you do need to be ready to learn maybe a lot more than you're expecting to. You know, you think, oh, I'm going to start a coffee shop. And you think, oh man, I know how to make a latte. But there's way more to it. You know, if you're looking at an actual location, you're looking at real estate, you're looking at zoning, you're looking at local business laws. There might be so much more that comes into play than you were thinking initially. And not to discourage anyone from doing that, but just keep that in mind. There can be a lot to it for sure.
Yeah, managing people too, right? If you're
I didn't even consider that, because what we have is so small. But yeah, if you've got multiple employees, that's a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, and maybe you're passionate about kind of that product or that service, but you're not passionate to manage people. And so that would definitely kind of apply here, right? If you're considering starting something, yeah, make sure that you're competent kind of in all the areas that are required, right?
Yeah, man. That being said, after making entrepreneurship sound terrible, I would recommend anyone that's sort of thinking down that path to go listen to How I Built This, which is a podcast with Guy Raz, and that will completely reignite your passion to start your own company, because it's awesome. I mean, essentially he interviews people who have started businesses and maybe failed, but ultimately and in the end they succeeded, and man, that just gets me fired up.
Yeah, and the cool thing about starting your own business is that the potential ROI is so much greater than, you know, an annual 8% or 9% return, right?
It's almost limitless.
Yeah. And so that's really cool to see, is that you can start something that has this, you know, much greater potential than putting a certain percentage of your paycheck aside each month, you know, hoping that it grows into, you know, a nice nest egg for retirement. And I'm not diminishing that. And I'm actually, you know, I want to make sure that people understand. Yeah. I actually think that's probably a really good place to start for most people, even for me as a real estate investor, as someone who kind of cares about these other ways of investing, of, you know, building a business, a side business, of kind of investing in multiple ways. I'm interested in that, right? But
step one, traditional investing, do it.
Yeah. I don't sidestep the 401k match. I don't miss out on, you know, that first essentially 10% of my paycheck going towards a 401k. And I think if you're gung-ho, you know, ready to start something new, you're prepared and it's a major zone of competency for you, it's okay to forego that. But for me, like, man, I start there and then I move on. And so, yeah, we're not trying to dissuade anyone from kind of the easy button and starting to invest in those incentivized areas, you know, that have additional tax benefits as well. But just kind of trying to help you think outside the box of, like, where's your next place to invest? And should you be considering, you know, maybe investing somewhere that you're currently not, and developing a zone of competency that you don't currently have? I think it's good for your growth as an individual, and it could be, you know, great for your money over time as well, to invest in kind of some different areas as you grow your knowledge base.
Yeah, so we just said several sort of alternative investing methods. These aren't the only things that you need to consider. There's a lot of different sort of creative options, and it takes just that. It takes creativity. It takes looking at where there's opportunities in the market, opportunities for you to earn more than what you could just in the standard stock market, earning somewhere between 7 and 10%. That's sort of the fun part. That's where it takes that creative energy, and it takes, regardless of what you're doing, a sort of entrepreneurial spirit to look out there and sort of create something for yourself. And that's something that we would challenge all of you listeners out there to do and consider. And so then specifically for you, you know, consider where you can get the best ROI. Obviously, we're talking about investing here. So you want to make sure that you are getting a healthy return on your investment. But at the same time, you have to look at what you want to do. You want to look at what your dreams are. What do you see yourself doing for the rest of your life? Whether that's sort of checking in on properties or managing properties, if you're not the one over there flipping a property and getting fresh paint on the wall because you're 70. I mean, I personally don't necessarily see myself doing that when I'm that old. Maybe I will, who knows? But that's something you want to consider. You want to sort of weigh those two options. You want to look at, does this make more than what a traditional investment would make in the stock market? And does this also fulfill something that I want to do, something that I find interesting, where I feel challenged, and that I enjoy?
Yeah. And yeah, for us, real estate kind of fills, you know, both of those things for us. It's a place where we feel competent, but you know, we weren't born competent in that area, right? It also took some striving and some sweat equity and some work to feel competent in that area. And so, yeah, for us now at this point, real estate really does that for us. But on top of that, we're kind of looking at other potential areas to invest. And so who knows what's going to hit us? We love our city. You know, we love certain industries. And so there are things that we might feel compelled to invest some of our funds in and that aren't kind of a traditional investment that are within the realm of a financial advisor, like giving you recommendations on, right? But there are things that we care about and where we might see potential in the future to earn more money and to do something that we're passionate about. And so I think, yeah, for you, maybe consider writing a list of what your competencies are and then say, are there any investments that would align with those competencies that I currently have? And what are some things that I'm really interested in, but I just don't know a whole lot about yet? And consider trying to develop those competencies, you know, through, like we said, listening to podcasts, reading blogs, checking out books from the library. Man, there's so many free resources out there for you to develop those competencies in areas that you are kind of passionate about, but you just don't know a whole lot about yet. All right, Matt, back to the beer.
Planked.
Yeah, and by the way, I don't know when their actual anniversary is, but Avery's 25 years old. I just noticed that looking at the bottom.
1993?
Yeah. So seriously, Avery, thank you for this old beer. It was absolutely delicious. I would recommend splitting a bottle with a friend.
You know, I was going to say I'm so proud of us because we each had a 12-ounce bottle of this monster beer. I mean, at 16.2%, that's bigger than a lot of wines, right? Yeah. Aren't wines typically around like 13, 14%?
Yeah. So maybe they should change the name of the beer from Planked to Tanked. It rhymes and it might be more accurate.
Hey, that being said, you and I both didn't finish our beers. I mean, we're going to once we turn off this microphone, but we recognize that this was a bigger beer and cheers to us being big boys and realizing that we needed to pace ourselves.
Showing a little reservation.
Man,
I like
that. We are so old and mature. Look at us.
And I will say, it's always fun to drink a beer where I feel like I haven't had one that ever tasted like that before. And this is a really unique beer. So it's like fun beer to drink. It's unique. It's got a lot of depth of flavor. I just really enjoyed this one.
And most importantly, incredibly delicious.
All right, Matt. Yeah, investing in what you know is so important and developing those, you know, zones of competency where you feel like you understand a way of investing that you didn't previously understand is so important to our personal growth and then, you know, the potential growth of our money. So I love this episode. Hopefully we got people to think about investing in non-traditional ways that can kind of grow their sphere of influence and, you know, kind of the potential growth of their money over time. I just kind of love thinking like this, yep. Thinking outside the box, not doing it the traditional way and investing in stuff that you care about.
Yeah, man. I love that too. I specifically love the sort of creativity that kind of goes into that, like brainstorming and thinking, sort of like you said, like writing down some of your strengths. You know, I think if you can kind of write down some of your strengths and then see like where does that intersect with the opportunity and where there's a need in the market where you could fulfill that, whether it be through investing or even starting your own business, I think that's where there is the most room for growth and for something to succeed.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Our home on the web is howtomoney.com, and we will have show notes up for this episode.
That's right. And if you like what you hear and have found this podcast helpful, please let us know by giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. And also, while you're there, be sure to subscribe either there or on CastBox. Until next time, man.
Best friends out.
Best friends out. Say competencies 3 times fast.
Competencies, competencies, competencies.